Most people know that Apartments.com is the most popular place to find a place. That's because Apartments.com has the most rental listings and the most ways to find them. And thanks to some of the most powerful tools like 3D virtual tours. So you'll most likely find your most right place. And I think most everyone would agree that that's good news. Unless you're part of a most peculiar minority of people who prefer to have less than the most. Make the most of your obvious move for your next move and use Apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here on a Monday night, back to talk about some Big Brother Canada. And I thought this was a very fun episode that we are getting to talk about here with you tonight. And I tweeted this out, but I just have to say, this is the four. This is the greatest four the podcast game has ever seen. Absolutely. You. We did it. We just go home right now. We did it.
It's done. Thanks for listening.
It's done.
Greatest four ever.
Greatest four ever. Guys, very fun episode to talk about here with us. Very excited to talk about Big Brother once again with this man, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you? Are you cheesed up?
I'm hoping that you guys won't be cheesed at me, because I do have to admit that I did actually know everything that happened in this episode prior to the airing of it, and I didn't tell you guys. So basically on Thursday night, and then Friday, I watched all of this play out on the live feeds, and so I knew about it, but I just didn't want to tell you guys yet. So, but I'm telling you now that just I feel like this will build trust.
Nah, he's making it up. He's making this up. But you know what? I'm feeling like he's not telling us things when they're happening. That is definitely not what Taryn does. He keeps all this information to himself. He sees these things happen, and he doesn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Very sus.
But I'm telling you now, so I feel like we're good now, right?
We're
you
good.
Think?
We're good. Don't worry.
Rude.
Don't worry about anything. We're solid. All right. I'm very excited to have back with us here on the Monday night recap. Sasha Joseph is here. Sasha, how are you?
So excited. Glad to be part of this rectangle. We love it. We love to see it.
Yes. Does the rectangle have a name? Tangle?
The Rex? Yeah. Tangled. Yeah. Yes. I don't know if we want to get sued by Disney. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sasha, what have you been up to?
You know, hanging out, watching these crazy people as always.
Yes. Okay. Well, happy to have you back with us. And I'm so excited to be able to podcast once again with the great Josh Williams is here. Josh, how are you?
You know, Rob, Sasha, like, I love you guys so much, but like, Taryn's going to win this game. And to be honest, you guys are just a bunch of cowards.
Thank
you.
You are
a bunch of cowards.
No, why do you say that?
You're not calling me a coward. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to win this game. I'm going to win.
No, me. I'm going to win.
Come on, Josh. We all know this is a team game. What are you going to do if you have no team?
This is an individual game, all right? This is an individual.
I don't think you know what game you're playing. This is Big Brother.
Okay. Josh, what's new with you?
Life has just been so crazy. It's been hitting me. It's almost as crazy as this Big Brother house today. Like, you know, it's insane how we just had, like, aligned with each other. The energy's just there. And when things are going crazy with them, so is Tuesday with me.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I've been having it.
Okay. Well, happy to have everybody here with us back on a Monday night. We'll be taking some of your questions along the way and checking in, of course. Love to see those comments coming along during the live show. And I have to say, I was worried. Sasha, I was one of these people that, you know, I love Victoria. I was a fan of Ro. They went out in the double, and I was a little bit, it was a good run. It was a good run, but look. It was better than Big Brother 22. I mean, how could it not be? But I said, all right, Big Brother Canada 9. You gave it a shot. And still juice.
Ugh, you know, my guy Rohan, yes. Rest in peace. You know, I have always been a Rohan stan account, I feel. So, you know, we're sad on that end, but I agree. Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
The game is still going, unfortunately. But we'll miss you, Rohan. We really will.
Yeah. Well, I was feeling real good about my draft a couple of days ago of Ro, V, and Kiefer. I was feeling real good. It took a big blow during the double eviction.
Well, Rob, luckily, as Kiefer's Kiefer has informed us, Kiefer is going to win this game, so you should be fine.
I still got that. I still got, you know, the GOAT in my back pocket, so I'm looking pretty good. So excited about that. And this was, I thought this was an interestingly structured episode that, you know, that they really spent a lot of time. Taryn, it was probably like halfway through the episode before we even got to the HOH competition.
Yeah, they didn't actually compete in the HOH competition until Friday, the day after the double eviction. So there was a decent amount of time in between those, the double eviction and the next competition. So it kind of makes sense timeline-wise.
Yeah.
And there was a decent amount of talk that happened. It was also weird to me, though, because there was still so much that they could have shown on Thursday, but they didn't have time for because of the double eviction from Victoria's campaign.
And, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. And I'm very excited to talk about the episode, but I thought that Big Brother opened the show tonight in an incredibly classy way, honoring the great Nikki Graham, who, as Arissa told us, passed away on Friday. I just thought that was really incredible, the way that they handled that. Of course, anybody who watched Big Brother Canada 4 loved Nikki Graham. She brought so much excitement to that season. I know we all had so much fun getting to watch her play the game. And I just thought that really kudos to the way that Big Brother Canada handled all that tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so sad what happened, and it really, I mean, it took me completely off guard, but it was a really beautiful segment. I'm really glad that they did it.
Yeah, Taryn, do you have a favorite Nikki Graham moment that you remember from watching that season?
Oh man, I remember the back and forth in the Dallas eviction. When Mitch and Tim were fighting over the loyalty of Nikki, and she was just like, you know what? I just love Mitch. I'm just going to be with Mitch. She just went with like, whatever she felt like in the moment. And, it was like, she added such a great element to that season, while she was there, where it like, she just kept things very interesting. That she's definitely contributed to. I really liked the first half of Big Brother Canada 4, and she's a big reason why, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Really very sad to see one of the Big Brother Canada greats gone too soon. Tonight's episode, though, we spent a lot of time with sort of like the aftermath of the double eviction, and the Sunsetters, basically the thruple plus Kiefer, feeling really good. And Sasha, so much credit to Kiefer, because he's coming off of that double eviction HOH. Can you believe he took out Kyle and Ro in one season?
Wow. The greatest to ever play the game, period. No one else is better than Keith. What are y'all even talking about? Why are we discussing anyone else? It should be Big Brother Canada, aka the Keith Show, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can't believe it. Well, again, who is it that did that? I forget.
You did it. You? You? You?
Also, I'm late to the game, I'm sure, but he has merch, and that I think is what kills me. Like, he has merch and he like wears it. Mm-hmm. It's the brand.
Keeps
it's the
it
whole
real
thing for me. Yeah.
Keeps it real. He's the Grim Kiefer.
Yeah. Josh, do you have any Keef merch yet?
You know, I'm a late subscriber to the Keef trade. I mean, I'm probably not Sorry, you guys, if I'm coming off a little bit. Okay, I did notice that Keem is just, you know, one thing about him, he stays real to himself. You know, I'm glad that he sold this brand and he's staying true to it, because at first I thought it was just a trend. At first I was really not liking it, but now that he's like holding on to it, he's staying true to it. He's just being himself, being the Keep the Goat. I like it a little bit more. You know, I'm liking what Keep is selling. I'm not buying what Keep is selling. About the money. Renting.
Yeah. Taryn, he's like talking himself up in the mirror, talking about like the mullet. Basically, he's really just like gassing himself up so much.
Yeah, I mean, I went on a soliloquy, or I performed his soliloquy from almost 2 weeks ago now, when he was alone in the Expedia room, and he talked about the beautiful flowers that have grown my game. Oh, the flowers. They're so beautiful. I'm amazed that they haven't shown that. I feel like they still could. But this is what he does. He likes to pump himself up.
Yeah. But, you know, the really interesting thing is, like, we make fun, but, you know, I listened to your interview the other day with V and Ro in the jury house, and they couldn't stop talking about what a great player he was and how they can't wait to vote for him at the end. So, Sasha, who's crazy now?
Still Keith, I think. No, I think he's obsessed with Rohan, and it was like a lot, but you got him out. Good on you. Sure. But I don't know. What has he done that's so great?
They bet on themselves, the Sunsetters, and it just keeps paying off dividends.
Slow clap for you, my friend. Slow
the best alliance
you.
That ever played this game.
Period.
Yeah. Is that all only Big Brother Canada or Big Brother US too?
Well, I'm one of those who said Big Brother US is not really competition when it comes to with alliances and stuff. Mm-hmm. So technically, yeah. it's the whole round here.
I don't know. I mean, the thruple might be.
I mean, the thing is that they still haven't even cleared the bar set in the last full season, which is the pretty so like,
yeah, we're excited. Oh, we're excited.
How far would any of us go in life if we had that confidence? You know, because to me, I really feel like I would be miles and miles ahead in life if I had even an ounce of that confidence. So I don't want to knock it too much, because good on you, man. Good on you.
Good on Kiefer to have the confidence, but I wonder, like, is it sort of like a two-sided sword where then, like, if there's a setback along the way, does the confidence remain? Does the balloon pop?
That's the thing about Kiefer, though, right? I feel like the confidence, it is, as you say, a balloon. I think that he is a guy who he pumps himself up in order to sort of overcome the challenges that he's faced in his life, right?
Yeah.
And that's sort of how he's gotten to where he is. And because of that, it is a very fragile confidence, and it is very easy to pop that bubble. And then he has to build it back up again. Who did that, Keith? You did that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we get so much Kiefer tonight. It's really great. We also get a lot of Tara and Tina in terms of where they stand. Because, Josh, TNT is certainly on the outs this week.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm also becoming a really big TNT fan. I like how Tara is just able to hold on to herself and, you know, really express her emotions and not give up. And I'm honestly really like, I'm subscribing to that. Like, I'm subscribing to where she's at in this game, because I know it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when your numbers are just dwindling.
You know,
I'm
not in the live feed streets. You know, I'm getting a lot of, you know, what I'm seeing on the show and hearing the live feed updates. But, you know, at least Tara fights. Does Tina do anything?
Yes, Tina does things. It's just not usually very vocally. I mean, again, she was probably one of the primary causes of the Vic backdoor last week. Mm-hmm. She just got no credit for it on the show. In fact, I would say Tina does a lot more than Brayden does, but Brayden, you know, is more focused on in the show. So the problem is that the other house guests do not see that Tina is doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, like, can she win in the end, considering the fact that they haven't seen her do anything? That's a tougher question.
Like, if I don't see that she does anything and the other house guests don't see that she does anything, if only, you know, like, but her stock watch is through the roof. Does that matter for anything? That's like a tree
we'll
falls
see
in the
how
forest.
Long that last drop.
Yeah. I don't know. She seems like a nice lady, but, you know, I'm not seeing anything. Anyway, the Sunsetters are having a nice breakfast, really just, you know, talking about how, boy, this four is doing so great. They got out Roe. They got out Vic. They did it. And this is when Kiefer decides to drop the bomb that, hey, by the way, I knew about the whole secret HOH thing, Sasha, and it's backfiring.
Why? Right? Like, they're all on such a high. Read the room, my guy. Read the room, because I still understand why he said it. I don't want to knock it too much, but I think there's a moment for it, and that wasn't it. Like, they were sitting here and they're like, oh, we're doing so well. This four, you know, let's talk about how, or let's like keep working on that, right? Like, keep building that relationship and don't. Again, don't like pop that balloon, right? I know we just used that, but why are you like it? Time and place, and like just that is why I think it flopped. I think there could have been a different moment where they were strategizing a little better and being like, actually, yeah, like Vic, you know, one on one, even. But I think 3-on-1, you played yourself a little.
Yeah, Josh, I think just Kiefer was just feeling it, like he was in the Matrix. He could do no wrong, and he said, "Hey, look, you know, hey, and you know what else? I knew about the secret HOH the whole time. That unstoppable ultimate power
that goes to show. Kiefer just goes to show, like, not knowing the game of Big Brother really. And when you come into a game like this, you just bring up your own energy. You know, Kiefer is very confident. He's comfortable with these people." I'm pretty sure he didn't realize that, like, by saying things that just obviously wouldn't necessarily help build up your game with these people, it's still a game. He's like, yo, you guys are my friends, and you lied to me, huh? Mm-hmm, you didn't tell me about that part.
Taryn, how about some new Keef merch? Do you like Keef it to yourself? Keef your mouth shut.
That's good.
This is definitely some overconfidence, I think. I think part of it is probably, you know, they were celebrating, they were feeling good, and he was like, you know, the one thing that's dragging me down right now is that I feel like this is one of the few times that, like, I actively lied to them. Let me just give it to them right now while they're in a good mood. Just get it off my chest. They'll forget about it. It'll be great. It'll build trust. It's not a great move. It's not a great move, Kiefer. I don't think this really does anything too dramatic. I think that it's not going to change their feelings on Kiefer that much, but it's just very unnecessary.
Yeah. Kiefer did have a nice moment when they had the big, they had a nice meal together. No have-nots ultimately this week, but I think this was before the HOH that they sat down and had a meal. That Kiefer talked about how that this meant so much for him to represent indigenous people. And so that was a nice moment for him on a night that was some lows amongst the highs, Sasha.
Yeah, again, this is why we've always talked about how Big Brother Canada, especially this season, has been such a casting gold mine, because, again, it's not just about like casting a certain type, right? Or like casting by POC people. Like, that is not what I mean. But like, when you cast people, you don't need to cast stereotypes, right? You need to actually cast people that are different and that bring in so much. And I think Kiefer is a great example that, you know, as an Indigenous person, he brings a lot of that vibes and a lot of that like love and connection with him. So it's mm-hmm. nice to hear. And I think these are just things we don't hear that much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to add on to that, I think just him being okay with being a representation, knowing he's a representation for his people, and just continuing to talk and bring up all of the issues and just his qualities and like his culture. I think that is really why I enjoy Keith for a lot. And why I respect him. And I think this was, again, like you said, a casting gold mine, because this is what we needed. This is what we wanted from these people. And I'm glad that he's there to really represent and share. Because he taught me so much just watching him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want. I love.
You know, Taryn, do they have assigned seats at the table in the Big Brother house? Because I noticed during that segment that he was sitting at the head of the table, which is traditionally like the position of power, the person who is seen at like the boss in a meeting, sits at the seat that he was at. Do they always sit in the same seats, or was he feeling it so much that he took that seat?
He's got an offer and they can't refuse. He's keeping it real. He's the head of the table. He's the boss. He's the boss man. He's gonna win the game. That's I don't think they have assigned seating now, but okay. He's definitely feeling himself.
Okay. So we're gonna see some talk between TNT and Bray, and they're talking about how that they can't go up against the thruple, that they never even go up on the block. They never even have to eat slop. They're really feeling it like they're at the bottom, Sasha. It looks very dark here for TNT.
I mean, welcome. Like, This is correct. And again, this is, it's like, we say this every time, every Big Brother, like, when will the people that are on the out, like, get together and understand that they're on the outs? But it's always too late. But they do, they most likely always know that they're on the outs, but they're like, no, let me try to get in. Let me try to, you know, get with the cool kids table instead of kind of making my own alliance, my own squad, which is probably even bigger in number, mm-hmm. but a little too late, TNT.
Yeah. I will say, though, in fairness, I feel like that everybody in the house, maybe save for Kiefer, like sort of recognizes their place in the pecking order. Is that fair to say that mm-hmm. other than Kiefer, everybody else knows, okay, I'm in the big three, we're in the little three, and then Kiefer is the one who's like, I'm at the top.
I unfortunately cannot say that I feel confident that Brayden understands his place in the pecking
order. Where would Brayden think that he is in the pecking order?
To be honest, I don't really know. I was really hoping that this episode would help illuminate where his head is at, because it's very confusing based on what he has said to the cameras. In this episode, pretty much all we got was him saying that he feels good with Beth, Ty, and Jed, which was not a nice thing to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that the only reason he wanted to win the HOH was because he wanted to be the one making the decisions. He said nothing about wanting to target the trio, which to me, given the edit he got last week, implies that he doesn't actually plan on targeting the trio, because I feel like if he did, they certainly would have shown us all of this footage about, like, I'm tricking them, but I'm going to target them, really. I feel like they're protecting him in the edit is what's happening.
Is the issue that he doesn't have, like, an Austin on the feeds anymore to be able to, like, that there's not one person that he is telling the truth to that we can know, like, what he really would do?
Yeah, like, last week, he had Ro, and he talked to Ro, and Ro was able to sort of, like, keep him on track of, like, we need to be going after them. You can't let them stay in this game. And he was telling Ro, like, okay, yeah, I'm telling them I won't, but I really will. But now that Ro is gone, he's saying things like, oh man, I think Tara's going to put me on the block next week. Wouldn't it be crazy if she didn't do that? And you know, should I tell Beth about things? Like, it's very concerning. And this episode really only pushed me further down that path.
Mm. All right. We saw Beth pacing and talking to herself. I guess after she got to do the short list last week, I guess she's doing so much thinking out loud. Sasha, after she got a little bit of like the big move, she tasted blood. Now she's like, what's the next big move?
to do one push-up. That's the next big move. What was that?
One push-up.
Yeah.
I looked at it.
Listen, now, I do zero. So I should not talk to about anyone. But that was so weird. Maybe she was like so much
pumped
endorphined.
Up.
Yeah, or adrenaline. But what?
I do want to say, so I could be wrong, but from my memory of watching this, I do believe that she did a few push-ups.
Wait, that's even funnier.
Which is, it was hilarious. Like, I'm not saying it wasn't hilarious because it was amazingly hilarious. But I do believe they just cut out the other push-ups.
I just love Beth. She's such a
yeah.
She's so great.
The whole thing is amazing because she's like, it was like 15 minutes of just like her walking around, like playing with her shorts, looking in the mirror as she talked, like, gotta do this. Gotta do this. This is what's gotta happen. I'm gonna make this happen. And then, yeah, at one point she just gets down and starts doing push-ups.
Why?
In the middle of the pantry.
I loved it. Yeah. But I do think actually big moves. I think she, again, we talked about this the last time I was on, but for her, she's actually set up really well when she's talking about Kiefer going out, because I think, again, she's insulating herself, right? And like the boys have no one but her. So she's correct. She's doing all the right things. She got Vic out. Now she's getting, you know, like that's where her brain is going to, is Keith, blah, blah, blah. So I think in that moment, she actually is correct and doing the right moves for Beth.
Just to go back to Beth talking to herself, Josh, is this the season of monologuing on Big Brother Canada? And do you think, does it have to do with people being cooped up in their houses for a year before they went to go play the game, that like we're all talking to ourselves like way more than we should be?
I think that you just said it. That must be why this house is just so crazy, because everybody's just been by themselves this entire time. They're finally interacting with people. The next thing you know, they just can't help but interact with themselves. Most of the time, you know, it's just themselves is all they've been around, and they prefer that. So
yeah,
I think that's why this house is going insane. It's going in directions that you just can't even help, but because everybody's just thinking about their own head and going through their own head.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing as people.
Yeah. Taryn, we got to see, Tara do some meditation to get ready, and she's talking to herself as well about how this HOH is gonna mean a lot to her. I know you talked about this on the feed updates over the weekend, but there was some significance to this HOH which they didn't address on the show.
Yes. So this I believe it didn't take place, but I believe today, I think, is the anniversary of her brother's death. And so it was going to be airing that on that day. And so she was really hoping that she could win on the episode, and then it would air, and it would be like this cool moment for her and her family. And so I'm sure that contributed toward frustration of not having a chance in this competition.
And she's going to really make a lot of mention about how she is frustrated about this challenge. The ball pit blitz. Finally, Sasha, we get some good use out of the ball pit here. And we have a contest where people are going to go back and forth, try to grab the white balls from the ball pit, and you can bring back ones with an X, and then give people some minuses.
Yeah, I actually was looking at my note. I actually wrote that in my notes. Like, are they going to do something with the ball pit? Because for weeks now we've been talking about, will there be a power there? Will there be something? So I appreciate them at least using it for something. Again, the competition was okay, not so great. I think it definitely favored people that have alliances over people that don't. But I just, Tara brought the drama. So I appreciated that. And maybe, like, because it was so dependent on having good alliances, I think it really, like, riled her up even more.
Yeah, this is the first competition I've watched all season where I've really just felt like, oh, they had no chance. Not only does this heavily benefit a strong working trio in this competition where they can basically just pass each other balls, coordinate where they're putting their X's, but it's also a very physical competition. You saw, like, Jed was, he was sweating more than he does when he does his workouts. Like, this must have been physically exhausting for the players. And there was zero chance that Tina or Tara were going to be able to pull this out.
And having the contestants get all sweaty and then get in the ball pit. I mean, Taryn, this really brings back a lot of the worst thoughts that we had about the ball pit this season.
Yeah, not great. And they're just like, Brayden at one point just finds glasses. And it's like,
yes,
if you can just find a pair of glasses in there, what else is lurking beneath those balls?
Yeah.
We don't know.
That was so weird. Kiefer wasn't even like, I've been looking for these everywhere.
He literally was like, what are these? Oh, mine? Oh,
you can't
look
for them if you don't have glasses to see.
Yeah. Which does make some sense, Taryn, that Kiefer has not been seeing the house clearly. So, yes, he needed those glasses.
He was, that's why he was asking earlier, Who did this? He could. Is it you? Who are you? He couldn't actually recognize himself in the mirror.
Yeah. All right. So, I also want to ask you this. Were there always white balls in the ball pit?
No.
Because some of them look like scuffed up, like they had paint on them.
I think they had, yeah, like that's how you identified which ball was an X versus I think which ball was like safe to keep. Yeah.
But in even in the good balls, that there were like balls with like a blue side and a red side, was that just like in case that side is just sticking up, that this is a decoy?
Oh.
So tricky. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be smart.
They did look like they weren't just like clean.
Well, they probably aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Very worried about Tina in this competition. She was running back and forth so many times. She was concerned that she could be injured.
I certainly don't want to fall. Go tits up.
Yeah, I did not know that that was a thing. I didn't know that that was a thing. We're, you know, chatting before the show. Could be Canadian slang.
Yeah. Canadians, you know, Canadians often get cheesed about going tits up.
Yeah.
The audacity.
The audacity.
Yeah.
Please pronounce it correctly, Sasha.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry, Canada.
I didn't even know you could say that on TV. What's going on over global?
I didn't know if we could say it in a podcast.
Yeah. I go by, hey, it was on TV. On Canadian TV.
I have heard this.
What was the context, Aaron?
I believe I could be wrong. Isn't this the phrase they use in Mrs. Maisel?
Someone just put that in the chat too. Yeah. Definitely they say it then. But that's like 20s, right? Slang.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's 23rd. It's also not 40s.
The same context either. They're like they're not talking about on their backs in that situation. Just in general.
Yeah. Well, this competition, it was a war of attrition. It was going on and on. Even Kiefer noticed how long the competition was going on.
The balls are getting low.
Yes. Yes. That was, time was going on. Josh, I thought that Kiefer was feeling himself also as the host of this competition.
Kiefer was a great host. He was laid back. He's chilling. He found his glasses. I mean, I would be extremely happy if I found my glasses. So I'm glad he was giving out the great commentary. Watching these people run back and forth, he was enjoying it, you know?
Yeah.
So, finally able to see.
For a little while.
He was able to see.
Something happened.
But I thought, to me, this was like one of the highlights of the season. So we see that Tara is getting, as you said.
Cowards.
Tara is gonna be cheesed.
She's cheesed too. She'll be really cheesed when she goes to Wendy's later. But she's going to really. She's not happy with how this is all working out. She's gonna call out the team, and this is a long clip. But this was so great. I want to play this this whole clip of Kiefer's confrontation with Tara during the competition.
call me a coward, Tara.
Are you playing right now?
Are you the only one you're talking to?
Are you jumping balls?
I'm the only one you're talking to.
I'll tell them loud and clear when they come out.
Good.
I'll tell them loud and clear.
I'm going to win this game.
Not sitting next to him, you won't.
Yes, I will.
Guy hasn't touched the block, hasn't had to do anything. If you don't think that they will cut you next...
They're not going to get a chance.
No way.
I hope not.
Sasha, unprovoked, Kiefer says, I'm going to win the game.
Kiefer, I'm telling you, like, Kiefer, no one else is in his, like, hemisphere. So to him, he's like, you're calling people cowards, but those are my friends, and I'm the king of that alliance. So that equals you're calling me the mega coward. So mm-hmm. what you're not going to do? No, absolutely not. That was so funny. You could tell she really wasn't even talking about him. Like she was staring like back at, you know, at the wall. Like it was, he did not need to like talk about it. And then he really just saying nonsense. I'm going to win this game. Not Jed. Why would you say this? If you were actually going to win anything, you should never tell people that I am going to be the one winning. Like, that's me. What? Foolish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's the host of this competition.
I know. He's not even the best.
And mid-competition, he gets into an argument with one of his allies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I thought they were working together. I'm so confused right now. Mm-hmm. But you know, Kiefer is one of those hosts, you guys. He's just trying to be, you know, like, listen, there's no line between hosting and competition. You're calling me a coward? No. So I appreciate Kiefer. He's like, it's always game, no matter what.
You know how y'all always talk, like everyone always talks about like the CBS reality hosts like Julie, Jeff, and Phil, right? Like on a scale of where do you fall on like friendliness, whatever. No, add Keith to that now because that's the level you need to all be meeting.
He's the best of all time?
Yeah, go obviously.
Yeah. And then I loved her counter, which is like, they're going to get you next. And he's like, they're not going to have the chance.
What is he saying?
Man.
Oh, my God.
That was incredible. That was wild. Taryn, did the house guests talk about this? Do we know this happened?
They did, yes.
Yeah.
We heard about this. Part of the reason why, like, really, the thing that really was the last straw for her that wasn't really pointed out in the show was that Brayden was also working with the trio in the HOH competition, putting X's in her tube instead of Jed's, even though he was competing with Jed for the lead, which that's what really sent her over the edge of like, what the hell? Yeah. How is this? This is four against one right now. Mm-hmm. And why are you just giving Jed the win? That's why she was like, I'm going to vote for this guy. Just so you guys know, he's got two X's in his stupid tube.
I know you said before that they could really cooperate. Was Ty feeding balls to Jed?
It's hard to know. You know,
Ty
would have.
I mean, he had seven more points than Tina. I should hope. Should help that
all that
he
endurance.
Was, he was helping
like,
Jed.
Cardio, all the yeah. cardio.
Tina did pretty well, to be fair, considering that she's competing against people that are half of her age. I would assume that mm-hmm. Ty was feeding balls to Jed. It doesn't make a lot of sense for them not to be, especially since like they're in a. It's not like it was an open space where they were grabbing things and they'd have to openly hand it over. It could just very easily be like,
yeah,
shove some balls this way toward Jed. Hey, look over here.
Mm-hmm.
So in case it wasn't, in the rules.
No problem with sharing between Jed and Ty. That they have no issue there. So ultimately, Tara, she is on tilt now. And she's going to basically say, like, hey, everybody, Jed's going to win. Jed's going to win. And look, he's got my vote. He's got my vote, too. I thought this was all very interesting.
I loved it.
I loved it.
Thank you, Tara. Like,
I loved it.
I feel like we don't get this stuff outside of, like, a house meeting, right? Like, It's usually like so annoying, or you're like, oh, I wish this person would have said this, or I wish that person would have said that. But to me, I feel like Tara really left it all out there. Like, thank you.
Yeah, this is basically, she's gone like full Troyzan mode, where she's like basically like, this is my island, and she's just basically like calling out the person in charge. And this is always fun to see on a reality show. Like, you hate to see somebody like go out with a whimper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah, she just doesn't care anymore. She's like, I mean, what am I supposed to do here?
Yeah.
And she's really embraced that role.
Yeah. So she says basically that, okay, he's going to win, and you know, that she's going to have a conversation with Jed, and basically, you know, she's telling him that you played a great game. I never had a seat at the table. In fairness to Jed, he says, no, that's not true. She's like, no, I don't even care. I don't care. Look, you just could have like, I'm just mad. And, but you played the best game, so I'm voting for you. And he says, you put a target on my back. She's like, nah, nobody listens to me. No one. No,
sure. She says, I'm going to get the jury to vote for you. And then she's like, no, but no one listens to me. Make up your mind, girl. Pick a side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Taryn, in your experience, does a person who is potentially like a little bit of a social pariah, like backing a particular member of the final two or three, does that hurt their chances?
I would say no, actually. It depends on how it happens, right? Like, why are they backing someone? Are they backing somebody that like is a friend of theirs? And it's like, oh, you just want your friend to win. You're obviously stumping for them. We're not going to listen to you. In a situation like this, these moments tend to be pretty powerful, where somebody openly declares, this person is going to win the game. They're going to get my vote. That should put a target on that person's back. And if it doesn't, if that person makes it to the end anyway, you have just added to their resume considerably, because they have now been seen as the front runner for a while and made it down to the end anyway. It also gives Tara incentive herself to fulfill the promise, the declaration that she made. And when she goes into the jury and Tara, the person that, you know, has been against Jed all season long, that Jed has maybe gotten out of the game or something along those lines, is saying, I got to give it up to this guy. Nobody put balls in his tube. You know, I couldn't get anybody to target it. I told them all that he was going to win this game, and they all just looked at me with blank stares. And now here he is sitting in the final two. I think that that's a pretty compelling argument, regardless of your social capital in the game.
Yeah. I forgot to also bring up, Josh, is Big Brother a team game?
I mean, honestly, it's kind of debatable at this point. Like, I felt like both arguments of it being an individual game, it being a team game, were very strong in this showcase right now, because it's true. From Tara's point of view, it's like only one of you guys can win this game, and right now it is Jed. And everybody else is like, no, thank you. Listen, it is a team game. This is why we're here. And I think you have to subscribe to both narratives at least. Like, say this is a team game, but secretly, obviously, you're plotting against your team the entire way through. Especially if you're actually winning with your team. I feel like that's what happens with a lot of these big alliances. They get to the end, and next thing you know, one of them wins, and it's the one who led them to the end anyway. So
yeah,
who knows? We got to find out if it's true or not.
Sasha, do you have thoughts on this? Is Big Brother a team game or an individual game?
Team, a.k.a. alliances, yes. It is, because this is why Tara is in the situation, unfortunately, that she is, right? Like, she and Jed's, no team, or your team was not so good. Maybe they had the oddballs, but, yeah. And TNT and the pre-90s, whatever, but yeah, your team didn't win, and that's why you're mad, and that's why you're like, look at the throuple.
Taryn, that being said, there is one person in this house who puts team above all else, right?
Yes.
And like Kiefer, right? I mean, like, isn't he all about the team?
Well, he's all about the team, but he has also been playing an individual game. And that's really, like, Big Brother is both. It's a team game and an individual game. And that's part of what makes it so compelling, is having to walk that line of making sure that you're in a team, but also making sure that you are positioned individually to benefit the most from that team. And having to manage those two different things is the difficulty in playing the game. And that's what Kiefer has run into. Yes, he has been a team player, but he has also positioned himself individually outside of his team with people on the outside. He aligned with Vic. He aligned with the pre-90s. He made sure that he was in a position to benefit no matter what, except he played a little too close to the team here, and he has given them too much power. And now this trio he's decimated their enemies, and now the trio is looking around, and they're starting to consider Kiefer as an option because he's one of the biggest threats left in the game. And so he did not manage the team versus individually well enough to play that kind of game.
We'll be right back to talk more about tonight's Big Brother. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor. Those are our friends over at Headspace. Wouldn't it be great if there was a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep, focus, act, and be better? There is. And if you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditation in an easy-to-use app. And you can use it whether you are... Well, you can't use it if you're in the Big Brother house because you don't have a phone. But you're lucky because you're not in the Big Brother house. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace can really help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. If you need some help falling asleep, or if you're like me, falling back asleep, Headspace has wind down sessions that people swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is so cool to use because you go onto the app and you can decide what kind of meditation you want to do based on the amount of time and the particular area that you want to focus in. You pick one out. There are lots of times during the day where I feel like that I could really use another cup of coffee. I turn to Headspace and I am feeling so much more refreshed to deal with the back half of the day. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/Rob. That's headspace.com/Rob for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. That's the best deal offered right now. Go to headspace.com/Rob to join today. And we'll get right back to Big Brother in 30 seconds after I thank our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And it could be hard work, but you know it's easy. Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And let's get back to Monday night's Big Brother recap. Jed is going to get his HOH room. He's going to get a letter from his dad and also the Wendy's menu. Wendy's coming up. We're seeing some salty Beth now, Sasha. She's tired of everybody.
Yeah, and like, I still a little bit, I understand the Tara hate, but like then she starts talking about, and I know why she hates or she doesn't like Brayden, but the way she's like, I don't know why I don't like Bray. I can't put my finger on it, but I just don't like him.
Yeah.
Girl, what?
You know what? It's been interesting that I just feel like that there's something about like Jed and Ty together. Taryn, I feel like that they're such like a force of personality, those two. It's been just like so many people this season like jockeying for like who is going to be the third person with Jed and Ty, whether it's Brayden or Beth or Spicy V. Earlier in the season, LaToya, where there's just so many people want to be best friends, the third wheel with these two.
Yeah, very much so. It's really been, I mean, it's always been Beth, right? I mean, it was Toya, but Toya left so early, and it was kind of Toya versus Beth in the beginning, but Toya left, and it's ever since then Beth stepped in, and the rest of the house, Kiefer, Vic, you know, Brayden, they're all just kind of like, well, I guess we have to tolerate Beth if we want to be with the guys. But this moment in the episode really convinced me, if we hadn't already been convinced, that Beth is our new villain. They're full on, you know, building her up as the sort of like villainous queen of the house. She said that, you know, it's only, I don't remember exactly what she called herself, bad bitch maybe. But in this conversation, they're all complaining about Brayden in this conversation. They're all mad at Brayden for following them around everywhere they go. They've all complained about him separately, but Beth is the one that gets the highlight because she is our new villain.
Sasha, should we be disappointed with this outcome that Beth is ultimately the villain of the season?
I mean, sure, right? Like, to me, Tara is the villain, I feel. Like, she's actually calling people out. But maybe we like that underdog type
she's
stuff,
She's
right?
got the
but
underdog
Too much
now.
Of an underdog to be the
yeah.
villain.
Yeah, ugh, whatever. Underdogs. But, yeah, I do think, yeah, Beth is coming off that way. But I think she's owning it, for one. And then second, it's just, I don't know. I don't like people like this. I don't like women like this that are like, I'm the only, you know, head HBIC in charge. Like, I don't want anyone else. Like, that's weird and gross. And we don't like that mentality. But like I said, she's owning it in the confessionals. And she's, you know, owning it one-on-one when she's talking to us. So I'll allow it because she owns it. If she was one of those like, I'm so sweet, I don't know why everyone hates me, then I'd actually be mad. So I'll allow it. But it's still like, I'm not like happy about her being the villain. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I could see both sides of it where it's like, if she embraces it, it's good. But I feel like that if she comes out and people are like, oh, Jed and Ty, we love you. But it's like, boo, hiss, Beth, we hate you. You are the evil queen this season. Like that doesn't feel too great. Josh, what do you think?
I mean, it's just funny to me that Beth is the villain of this season, especially preseason. She was like the sweet little cow. I thought she was going to be the girl from the South, the cowgirl. I thought she was going to really be nice and sweet. Now she's over here being like, you go. Yeah. Yeah. What push up real quick?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it worked for her. And I honestly, this is why she's getting more of an edit than the boys right now, because the boys are just so bland and so calm, and they're in a position of power, yet they just act like, you know, it's what I have to do. I'm sorry, unfortunately. Well, she's like, yeah, let's go. I love it. Woo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's working for her. I think it's funny.
We should be counting our blessing that this is the Beth we have, because this is great. If you are going to love to root against Beth because she's getting way too cocky and power hungry, that's amazing. That's like way more than we could ask for, especially given recent history with Big Brother. The fact that she is actually being villainous and cutting people and wanting to do things that are in her own best interest, whether she actually follows through or not, whether she waffles back and forth or not, this is great. I love people that let the power go to their head. I love it when people are savage in the game. You know, it's I think that there's plenty of reason to be like annoyed with Beth in terms of like things that she's done or said on the feeds, but as a villainous character in the edit, this is great. I fully understand the move, I think, to build her up as this new villain, because she gives them the most amount of villainous content. And it kind of suits the story that that can, I think, be told here.
Taryn, we haven't talked about it yet tonight, but overall, did you like the edit tonight?
Overall, yes. I mean, the thing that I was really missing was insight into Brayden. And I really do feel like they were, after they built him up so much last week, they were like, oh crap, we can't show what he's really doing right now. And I felt like they really glossed over what he's actually thinking. And that was like the one thing I was really looking for.
Glossy.
But I think they're setting this up well. I mean, Beth is our new big villain. Kiefer's being set up as his head's getting really big. He could be screwing up here.
Could happen.
Tina and Tara are being set up as kind of like the last remnants of the underdogs. And they're just kind of leaving. They're kind of just leaving Brayden for now. They're clearly going to wait and see what happens there.
Honestly, for Brayden, I just feel like he really is just out of the loop. Honestly, you guys, I think they wanted to give him some type of content this entire time, you guys. But he's just not in it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, given
he's
the edit,
just not in it right now.
Given the edit he got last week, like he would have been the star of the show if he had been playing the game prior to last week, right? Like 1,000%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what Big Brother like wants to give us, like, you know, who's like going to be like the Netta, who's going to come from like under the radar to ultimately like come out of nowhere and then surprise everybody. They love that story. Like they want to give you that story. But I feel like that I could totally see, you know, a Braden HOH next week where, you know, TNT is on the block. You know, it could happen. So,
that
could be the big move. Yeah. We'll see.
No.
Anyway, let's go then. How about, okay, that Kiefer is going to give Tina some hope. So, they could backdoor Braden. That could happen. And we're going to see, some pushing for potentially getting Braden on the block. Let's go to Wendy's. About some Wendy's. Okay.
Finally.
Rob, all right. Now, Taryn, this was not without controversy. Tara finally gets to go to Wendy's.
Finally. She's finally chosen to go to Wendy's. She doesn't have to be...
I'm a little cheesed right now.
She doesn't have to be cheesed. Except maybe a little bit cheesed.
Yeah.
The burger is cheesed.
Here, I'll give you mine.
Cowards.
Tara is going to be cheesed.
He was talking about Wendy's.
I want cheese right now.
He was saying Jed's going to win, and obviously he's going to take Tara to Wendy's where she'll get some cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Junior bacon cheeseburger is going to be the order for Tara. Just a junior bacon cheeseburger?
Well, Rob, here lies the issue, because... even though Kiefer was clearly able to predict that Jed would take Tara to Wendy's, Tara was not informed that she was going to be taken to Wendy's. So she had already eaten before going to Wendy's and thus did not have clearly enough room in her stomach to eat more than a junior.
Josh, did she have an appointment? What was the rush to eat? That don't you wait until the HOH makes their call on Wendy's day? Like, all right, let me hold out hope. Maybe I'm going to Wendy's. All right, I'll have the peanut butter sandwich. I didn't get to go.
I think Tara definitely subscribed to the fact that, like, by calling everybody a bunch of cowards, he was not getting Wendy's that night. So it,
no, she nagged him.
She nagged him.
Oh. And,
Wow, I don't even know. She knows the reverse psychology. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate you. They're like, oh, will you come to Wendy's with me? Yeah. So it worked.
You should do it again.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah. But only the, like, can you get like the double and then save half for later, Taryn? Or is it only like basically like once you leave the room, the Wendy's is over?
You know, I don't think I've ever seen leftover Wendy's, but it's not something I usually look out for.
Wow. Hmm. Okay.
No doggy bags here.
I'd hide the other half, like in
this
the HOH room.
Yeah.
Is it weird that when you said leave half of a double for later, I imagined
taking
not
one patty.
Cutting it. Yeah, I imagined leaving like one patty. And like, I was like, what would you do with
have
the
one
bun?
Open face burger and then one open face burger later? I don't want a lot of carbs. Well, I'm going to do it that way. Okay. And then for Jed, he goes with the double cheeseburger. Is that a metaphor for the Jed and Ty relationship? Are they the double cheeseburger of this season?
Ooh.
Oh, no.
That does not sound good.
So yeah. Beth is cheese.
She's the cheese.
Is this Big Brother or are we talking about something else?
Getting cheese.
They form an isosceles triangle with two patties and some cheese.
Yeah. He says that isosceles, also known as sauce, Terrence?
Yeah, the sauce. Yeah.
The sauce.
Isosceles triangle.
You know, I got that. But is it sauce like
I like it.
Yeah, like you put like sauce on the burger?
I mean, I think it has a double meaning, right? Hmm. It comes from Isosceles, but it also, you know, you're on the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got the sauce because look at them winning.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got the sauce. So, Tara's like, throwing some stuff at the wall. She says, hey, and how come nobody ever talks about Tina either?
She's been saying this for like a month. She's like, how come everyone's always talking about me? No one ever talks about Tina.
In fairness, I made the same point earlier in this podcast of like, does anybody ever talk about Tina? What does she do?
The response she gets every single time is, because you talk so much, Tara.
Yeah.
Ooh. Tina doesn't talk as much as you.
That's so real messed
up. But the real answer is that Tina's in the Sunsetter.
Yeah, sure. I got it. Okay. So here comes Brayden. Josh, Brayden goes to Jed, wants to know, so what did Tina say at Wendy's? Did she pitch anything? And Jed says, no, didn't say anything. Nothing.
Oh.
Brayden is not buying it.
Yeah.
Wants to know.
So Brayden didn't buy it.
I don't think he bought it.
No.
Okay. If Brayden did buy that, I'm like, dang, Brayden. Oh, no. I'm trying to help you. I want a roof for you, man.
Yeah.
Like, come on, read the room. Catch it. Catch these lines right now. But I mean, I hope this is the one. I hope he sees it now. I hope he sees that these people do not trust him. And he's their only adversity now. Is that the same?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tara talks so much. So like we literally just said that. So why wouldn't she talk? Like, and I think Bray should know that. If she's not talking about Tina, who else is left? Me. Because I know she's not talking about Kiefer because they're allegedly friends. So that's to me, it's so easy to put two and two together because this house doesn't hide anything except Jed. I think this is the first time we've seen someone actually keep something close to their chest. Everyone else just kind of, you know, as soon as they get the info, it comes right back out.
Yeah.
So good on you, Jed. But I think it was like such an obvious moment. Like, just tell him, she was, you know, she was trying to say a bunch of names, just trying to save herself. Can we say that?
Yeah.
Tara, what would have been the harm to say, can you believe she was saying Tina? She said to put Tina on the block. I thought that was her friend. Is he just worried that that Brayden's going to go back and tell them what she said?
Yeah, honestly, they're so sick of Brayden. They don't want to tell him anything. Ever since Vic told them, like, hey, don't watch out for Brayden, they've been like, we're not going to talk game to Brayden anymore. They're trying to keep him in the dark as much as possible. And also, at the same time, they're starving production of any possible content they can give to Brayden. It's like, I'm going to make sure he puts up Tina and Tara. Hey, did anything happen? Nope. Wow, what a great job Brayden just did.
Okay.
He really convinced Jed to put up Tina and Tara.
Yep. We are gonna ultimately get our nominations. It's gonna be Tara, an emotional player and a wild card, and then Tina, the game talk with you is just surface level. Don't know where your head is at. Taryn, no shortlist this week.
No shortlist. We don't need it.
That's fine. It's fine. We got we're definitely comfortable. Yeah. Okay. Great episode tonight. I loved it. Sasha, any other thoughts on the episode proper before we're going to talk some live feeds?
No, I'm just excited for the spoilers.
Okay. All right. Let's take a question or two. Let's see. This is from Bring Back Gandia. That was a social HOH as much as a physical one. Why was nobody seemingly going after the thruple? The house seemed to let Jed win. Oh, this is actually a Tara's burner account. Tara loves Gandia. Okay. So good for Tara.
You missed the part where they were called cowards in this.
Yeah,
in
cowards. This question as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, what are you going to do? All right. I think we're good on let's do one more question. Okay. Trevor wants to know, from a casual fan's perspective, who out of the thruple is playing the best game? Sasha, do you have a power ranking of the three?
Yeah, I think it's Jed, Beth, Ty. But I can make a case for Beth going up. But I really think what sold it for me is Jed and Tara's first conversation, like saying, like, you're painting me as a target. He didn't need to do that, actually. And I think it just helps his game even more.
It's been a real horse race, yeah. Right, Taryn? Like, you know, one person pulls ahead and another person pulls ahead at different points. Like, it would be an interesting final three.
Yes, it does seem like Jed is really starting to take a solid lead here. And I completely agree in terms of from a casuals perspective, especially given this episode where he was called the front runner. I think they would see Jed as the front runner. They probably see Beth as kind of like the behind the scenes sort of mastermind potential upset. And then, you know, from the audience's point of view, there's like Ty is not. Really,
I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill.
That's about the most I think we've seen of Ty in these episodes. I can't even remember much that Ty has done in the episodes other than be very funny in the diary room.
Yeah,
because of the fake enthusiasm.
Josh, you have a power rankings, Jed, Beth, Ty.
So I think gameplay wise, I believe Beth is. Obviously, she's the one who makes the moves. She's the one who knows the moves, where the moves are at, and she's the one who's doing the most for her game. However, from an audience perspective, how the house is reading them, I believe Jed definitely has it in the cake. He's playing it so much more strategically. He's playing it so much more smoothly, especially how he handles people. So, yeah, you got to give it to him.
Okay.
He's definitely up front. Ty, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? We're all rooting for you.
Wake up.
Yeah. All right. It's going to be interesting to watch to see how it all plays out here in the home stretch. And we cannot say this for every Big Brother season. So we are blessed still in Big Brother Canada 9. Are we ready to talk about the live feeds from today? They came back on, right, Taryn?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about what's been going on today. On the live feeds, if you are bouncing out here, we'll see you on Wednesday. It should be a fun week. All right, here we go. Let's talk some Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
I think the kids took my damn buzzer. I look around in the ball pit for it. Okay. All right. Taryn, after a morning without feeds, this is the Monday show. I'm getting ahead of myself. You want to just give us the lead up to today?
Yes. So. There was a lot of talk about backdooring Braden this week. That it went from, well, maybe we'll think about it once the veto plays out to let's do this. Let's full on backdoor Braden no matter what happens with the veto. Braden was not chosen to play. So it was basically a given that no matter who won the veto, it would be used and Braden would go up and he would be voted out. So the feeds went down for the veto. When they come back up, we see that Tara has won the veto. She will be taking herself down. However, the plan changed.
What?
From Braden to...
Just call me the Grim Keeper because...
Uh-oh.
Because he's feeling grim?
Oh.
Because he's attending his own funeral here.
Oh, no.
Keefer is going to be the replacement backdoor target for the trio. And that's, he did not think that they were going to get a chance, but they very much did right away.
Are you kidding me?
No,
not kidding you.
I just feel like I can finally breathe because this whole episode, I feel like half of us were in on the joke and half of us were like, oh, Kiefer's just being a little cocky. But I was like, no.
They set him up so much in this episode. Yeah.
Every chance they got, they set him up. Like, oh, we're going to be Final Four, you guys.
Yeah.
Final Four. Okay. Greatest alliance.
So here's the question. Josh, do you think that Kiefer will end up coming off looking like that, oh, he got too arrogant, he got a big head? Or do you feel like that the audience, especially some of like the more casual fans, who Kiefer is certainly a fan favorite, I would think, that he was voted into the house as a fan favorite. I think that people probably have been rooting for him this season. If he gets done dirty like this week, do you think the audience potentially could turn on Jed? And or the thruple?
So I think that's the absolutely. Work. That's the work they've been putting in this episode, right? Mm-hmm. That's why Beth is being set up as the villain. They want Beth to take most of the heat for this. And that's why Kiefer is being set up as having such a big head, because they want to limit the amount of upset that the audience has with it. Because I can tell you that on the feeds today, it is a very emotional conversation that they had with Kiefer when they let him know that he was going up on the block. He ended up crying. They all started sobbing after he left. This is very much like an Adam moment from Big Brother Canada 7. And it's going to make an impact. And so they are setting it up ahead of time to make sure that Beth is their lightning rod and that it's not too extreme, because look, he did do it to himself. So I think that's where they're going with it for sure.
Wow. Okay. is there any campaigning whatsoever, Taryn?
No, not right now. I don't really anticipate much either. Basically, Kiefer's only chance was to convince them to not put him up in the first place. And I do think he had an opportunity, but he was so genuinely sort of hurt in the moment that he was so, like, most of his energy was focused on, like, no, it's okay, guys, like trying to stop himself from sobbing. To then, like, he threw out a couple of lines about, like, you shouldn't do this. But at the end of the day, he just didn't have any argument and he just kind of left. And so now he has been put on the block. He is up against Tina, and the case that he can make against Tina is basically non-existent. It just doesn't make any sense to take him out, or to take Tina out over him. And he doesn't really plan on doing much campaigning at this point.
Okay. Well, let me just devil's advocate. Could he make a case about how, like, he knows where a lot of the bodies were buried, that, and yes, like, he was also part of those conversations, but he knows that Tina was working at times to sabotage the thruple. Like, could he air some of that? Is that possible that, like, no, Tina is actually the bigger threat than I am? I was always loyal to you.
He could, but they won't care. I mean, they already know that she was working mm-hmm. against them. They know that yeah. she was part of the oddballs. It's not that they think that she's with them necessarily. It's that they just don't think that she'll win anything. Whereas Kiefer, as he's said multiple times, will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Exactly.
I won't give them a chance.
No, I mean, yeah, I feel like the thruple doing this move, it is very effective, I feel. For they are right. If they do not take a shot at Kiefer now, when can they take a shot at Kiefer? And they did at the time where it will be the hardest time for him to counteract it. The only way he could truly make an argument is if he was able to bring Ty, Brayden, and Tara all against Tina right now to save himself. And that's almost impossible. It's nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. But it's a great shot.
Yeah. The downside of this move for the thruple, yes, they take out their biggest competitor in Kiefer, but Sasha, does this set up a situation next week where on Thursday that it's all in, either Beth or Ty has to win the HOH or the thruple's gonna get broken up
again, right? Like, we talked about this a lot, but what happened, we don't know where Brayden stands, so technically
how mad
sure?
would people be if Brayden wins the HOH? Oh, and then
that's it's honestly,
let me come back to reality. Sorry,
it's a season killer. Oh, if that happened, people would be so upset. And I think it's a very it's very
all right, well, let me yeah. then let
no,
me
production
just
production needs to tip him off, do something. Let's get that would be a hot mess,
bad mojo out of yeah. here. Mark my Page words
yeah.
okay. Mark my words, Brayden is not gonna win the HOH on Thursday and
yeah,
put Tina and Tara on the block. That we don't have to even worry about that. That's not a thing that's gonna happen.
Yeah, I do think this is the best move for Beth. I think Beth, again, is set up even better now. I think the boys are set up a little less better than Beth. So good on her, again, to, like, get that moving forward. But I don't know why they did it. I'm still confused, yeah. if I'm being honest.
Taryn, you're so good with this stuff. So could you prognosticate what kind of competition we might see on Thursday?
You know, they still haven't done any real endurance other than the rock counting. I could see maybe something like that, or maybe something a bit crap shooty. I think we need something that's like a full on crap shoot.
Okay, mm-hmm. I was gonna say that if it's endurance, that's why Beth is doing those push ups. She's getting ready in the storage room. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I do feel like that maybe we have a Tara HOH in her, where that she's just like, you know, holding on for dear life and they can't get her off of something.
It's what we need.
Yeah.
1000%. Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Okay.
Who would have thought? Rooting for Tara. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's an interesting season. It's been good. So I said it at the top of the show, I was very worried when V and Ro went out, but this is the cast that has continued to deliver. So kudos to them. Great job. It's been a great season. Josh, any other thoughts on BB Can 9 tonight?
BB Can 9. I mean, this season is just insane to me how like every player is a player and they're continuing to play each round. And I think I just hope that some of the people who are probably like wandering around, Brayden, Ty, come on, you guys, wake up and play also, because like this season is just, it keeps on feeding and I loved it. This was a great episode. So I liked it.
Okay.
Nice.
Sasha, how about for you?
Yeah, I think it's really great. I'm interested to see what Kiefer does. I know like today has been a little Eeyore-y, where he's just kind of like, oh, they betrayed me. I shouldn't have, you know, done the double eviction. I shouldn't have won. Or if I did win, I shouldn't have taken Ro out. Yeah, in your face. You shouldn't have taken Ro out. Anyway, it's fine. But I really appreciate that I'm continuing to root for different people. I feel like that hasn't happened for us in a while, where we're just kind of bouncing back and forth. Like, and I'm genuinely happy with most of these people winning, which, thank God, here we are. Thank God.
Yeah. Taryn, mm-hmm. when people vote on Thursday, how many varies and how many sadlies will there be to vote to evict Kiefer?
Every single one of them except for Brayden.
Yeah.
Brayden's been like, I'm not sad about this.
Maybe Beth. Beth low-key was like, not even, when the others were crying, Beth was like, oh.
I looked at her face, I was like, wow.
Beth was the first one to start sobbing, actually. She ran into the bathroom.
She was like standing like that, right? Maybe. Yeah,
she was just like,
yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah, she started sobbing first, and then Jed comforted her, and while Jed was comforting her, Ty started sobbing, and then so she went and comforted Ty. It was a bit of a mess.
Yep.
That makes sense.
How hard will it be for Kiefer to not talk about how great the Sunsetters were as an alliance on his way out the door?
That's genuinely, he was like, but we were supposed to be the greatest alliance ever, and now we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And Jed's like, I mean, being honest, though, Kiefer, the Sunsetters pretty much died week three. He's like, oh. He's like, but we've still been doing it. We've been doing it we swear. He's like, will you still do it for me? Like, yeah, absolutely.
But in the episode that they very clearly did like a triangle and then went to sleep.
And he was like, do you three have a name? And they were like, no.
Mm. Sad. That's very sad.
Big Brother did a good job of the episode where Anthony and Dane cut Adam was really great. Highlight of that season. I'm hoping I always hope for good when there's good content on the feeds. I always hope the episodes will match it, and they never do. But I've seen them do well with this kind of thing before. I'm really hoping that they nail this, because this is you don't get this level of emotion on the show that often, and I think that this could be a really compelling episode on Wednesday. Okay.
All right. Should be a good one. Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast this week. All right. Oh, the round table is going to be back. Hope you didn't go all in on Kiefer, everybody. The Grim Kiefer is coming to your portfolio. A crash is coming in the market. So bad news if you went all in on Kiefer this past week.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Yeah.
Just call me the Grim Kiefer because I...
Coming for your stock portfolio.
Breaking Whoa. Up those investments.
Premonition, man. Kiefer with the prim.
What time is the stock watch tomorrow night? Nine Eastern?
Eight.
Okay, Eastern. 8 Eastern on Tuesday with Taryn and Melissa and Asia coming up Tuesday. All right. I got to talk with Taryn. We had so much fun on Wednesday with Mike Bloom. We got Taryn done with like 3 seconds before Wednesday's Big Brother on after we talked all about Survivor Guatemala. Check out that podcast if you haven't listened to it. We had a lot of fun talking about the 27th best season. And then I got to talk to the winner of Survivor Guatemala. Danny Boatwright called in for a Talking with T-Bird this past weekend. So check that out if you haven't listened to it. Had a lot of fun. With Danny, lots of great stories from Survivor Guatemala. And then this Wednesday, ready to do it all over again. I will watch my 15th Survivor season of 2021 as I'm talking about Survivor Gabon on Wednesday with Maggie Morgan and Phil Thompson. Should be a lot of fun to talk about Gabon. I have been watching a lot of Gabon this week and looking forward to talking about it. And then, oh, what is this? Oh, holy moly. Why Bob won is coming this weekend. David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis are going to explain to you why Bob won Survivor Gabon. What rule? What did he do right? What did he do wrong, if anything? Find out on Why Blank Lost. Yes. What do you think? He did one thing?
It's the bow tie.
The bow tie? He did the bow tie. You didn't like the bow tie?
That was the thing. That's why
that's,
I won.
That's the one thing. So find out.
Sorry, I spoiled the podcast.
Find out how Bob did it this weekend. And oh, look at this. Look what's coming up. The Circle is back. Message. The Circle USA is coming back to Netflix, and we've got a real treat for you. Taryn and I are going to be ready to go with, we're going to cover the first episode for you as soon as it comes on. How about that, Taryn? Are you up for the challenge?
Up for the challenge. We're magical podcasters.
Yes. Okay. We're going to be ready to go with a premiere recap of Circle. Season 2. And then, Taryn, what comes after that?
Well, what comes after 1 is 2. And so we're going to cover episode 2 the following day. And then, get this, what comes after 2 is 3. So we're going to cover episode 3 on Friday. And then on Saturday, we'll have coverage for episode 4. We'll have we'll reconvene and we'll talk about all the episodes.
Yeah. So... All right, Taryn and I will be together for
about 5.
Yeah, it's not till next week. Gosh, slow down.
Please.
Slow down.
Do not get ahead of ourselves. We don't want to get too complicated with these numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These four podcasts are going to be the greatest podcast of all time, I think. So Taryn and I will be back with a premiere recap, and then Taryn will have episode 2 and 3 recaps, and then we'll all be together for a big roundtable live on Saturday evening, I believe 7 Eastern. On Saturday for our Circle coverage, and we have a Circle podcast link I'll have for you when we get there. Okay, so be on the lookout for that. All right, Scott, what else is coming up? What's this? Oh, 90 Day Fiance. Oh, Sasha, did you watch the reunion show?
Oh yes, I did.
I loved it so much. I was so mad last week, but then I was just like giving all the flowers to 90 Day Fiance for the reunion show. I love their reunion show. We talk about so many unfulfilling reunion shows for these reality shows. 90 Day Fiance, they know how to do it. It's great. They do it so,
the best show, so honestly. Ugh,
so no. Good. I love the reunion show. Part one of the reunion show. It's a 2-part reunion show coming next week. Puya and I had a lot of fun talking about that today, so I hope you check that out. Of course, So much going on here in the month of April over on our Patreon right now. I did our patron feedback show with Jordan Kalish, Aaron Robertson, and Nick Fishman. That just went up yesterday. We'll be back with more patron Five for Five, Facebook Friday coming up this weekend, and so much more. Head on over and see everything we have going on over at robinswebsite.com/patron. If you're watching us here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Don't forget to like the video and also hit that bell notification to make sure you get an alert every time that we go live. So there you go. And of course, follow us on social media at RHAP Grams. We've been doing podcast host takeovers of the Instagram, and you're missing out if you don't check us out over on Instagram at RHAP Grams or at Robinson Podcast on Twitter. Thank you so much, Scott, for all of that. Okay, Josh, so nice to get to talk to you again tonight. What else do you have going on?
Life is going great, you guys. I also had started a little small little group of with my friends. We are called Black Boys We Watch, where we podcast about Big Brother Canada. We're probably going to podcast about RuPaul Drag Race All-Stars when that comes out. So it's been fun. We just say, you know, Black Boys We Watch. What? We don't know yet.
It's a question? Yes.
Yes, the question.
Okay. All right. Well,
you know, you got to leave it. You got to leave it to... Okay.
You got it. All right. Josh, great job tonight. Sasha, how about for you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at funsize_04, where I talk about these crazy reality shows that I end up watching all day, every day, it feels like. And you can follow my channel podcast, which is called Silent Podcast with Isaiah and Geneva. And we cover a few other reality TV shows as well. So come hang out with us there after you catch the RHAP content.
Okay. All right, Sasha, so much fun to get you back here on a Monday night. And of course, Taryn, what's next for you?
I'll be live tomorrow morning with the live feed update, tomorrow night with the roundtable. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'm live during every episode. We watch it together. It's a lot of fun. I also recently got my 100th win in Fall Guys, because I play it way too much.
Congratulations.
Come hang out with me.
How many losses do you have?
Ooh. Like way more than 100.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So how do you 200? Win?
Well, okay. So every round there's 60 players, and then you play through various stages until you get to a final, and mm-hmm. then you have to win the final.
You came in first out of 60, 100 times.
Yeah, 100 times. Well, there's also squad mode, where you can work with a team of four, mm-hmm. and there are many teams of
four. Do those count as wins also?
They do.
Okay. How many of those do you have?
Probably like 30.
Okay. All right, that's still pretty good. Wow. All right. Well, good job on that, Taryn.
Thank you.
Well done. All right.
Very, very proud of myself.
Yeah, of course. I'll be back with you for News AF coming up on Tuesday morning. So be on the lookout for that if you're watching us here live on YouTube. Thank you so much, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.